are celebrating today the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, a celebration that marks the fact that God is three persons in one divine nature. This is the greatest truth of our Catholic faith, and it is also the greatest mystery of our Catholic faith, of how it's possible that God is three divine persons in one divine nature. Ultimately, the reason we know this truth is because it has been revealed to us. In today's first reading, we can see one of the primary revelations that God gives to the people of Israel through Moses, when he encounters Moses on Mount Sinai and it communicates the law to him. In the New Testament, with the coming of Jesus, it is the fulfillment of the revelation of God, and in Jesus we are going to discover all of what can be known about God from our human perspective. And the great truth that Jesus reveals is that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are a number of places in Scripture where this can be clearly seen. In today's second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we hear the greeting which is commonly used at Mass, like this morning, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you." Or we can think of Matthew 28, the great commission that Jesus gives to his apostles prior to the ascension, when he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." So the reason why we believe in the Most Holy Trinity is precisely because it has been revealed to us. Whereas the truth of God's existence can be known and discovered just through reason itself, the fact that God is three persons in one divine nature can only be known through the gift of faith and through the revelation that we have received in Jesus Christ. It is, in fact, a unique part of Christianity. In fact, even among the other religions which would be considered revealed religions, such as Judaism and Islam, Christianity is the only one that believes that God is a trinity of persons in one divine nature. And that can make us or ask the question, does it really matter that God is three persons in one divine nature? Is this really such an important truth of our faith that we should hold on to, or is it perhaps something that we shouldn't highlight too much because it is so mysterious? And I would argue that not only is it something essential to our very lives, but it is actually the most important and fundamental truth of our existence. In other words, nothing can be more important to us than the fact that God has been revealed to be three persons in one divine nature. And the reason I say that is really twofold. In the first place, the origin of our life is found in God. We are made in His image and likeness. And isn't it only fitting and appropriate that everybody likes to know where they came from? And therefore, if we're made in the image and likeness of God, if we believed by chance that God was a mighty tyrant who was going around oppressing people, well then, that would become our business to try and do as well. But if, on the other hand, we believe we're made in the image and likeness of a God who is love, well then, we were created out of love, and this is going to mark the fundamental reality of our existence and path to fulfillment in life. And the second reason is that as God is at the beginning of our life, He is also at the end of our life, that we are destined to live in communion with the Most Holy Trinity in heaven, should we choose to do so. And therefore, if our eternal destiny and calling in life is to live in eternal communion with God, isn't it also fitting then that we would know what this life of God is all about, that we are hoping and desiring to spend all eternity in the presence of? And this is precisely why it is so important that God is a trinity of persons, because only because of the multiplicity of persons in God can the truth be found that God is love, as we hear in today's second reading when St. Paul says that it is the God of love that we believe in and are following. St. Augustine had a very beautiful expression about the Trinity when he said, "In every love there is a lover, a beloved, and a shared love between them." In other words, the Trinity can be love because there has always been someone to love. And this is why this revelation of God being three persons in one divine nature, a communion of perfect love, is so essential and so important to our being, to our existence, and to what really ought to mark and motivate our lives. In today's Gospel, we hear the famous proclamation from John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. In other words, the Father sends the Son to us in order to reveal the nature of God's love, that we're going to see concretely acting in the person of Jesus Christ what the love of God actually looks like. And in knowing that, then we ourselves are going to have something to strive toward as the goal of our life, to say, this is the love that I'm called to, this is what I need to reflect and represent in my own life. And so in Jesus, we see the perfection of God's love made visible. In Jesus, we see that love is communicating truth to the ones we love. This is Jesus Christ, the Word of God in sacred scripture. In Jesus, we see that love is becoming one with the ones we love. This is Jesus in his incarnation. Jesus shows us that love is nourishing the ones we love. Jesus in the most holy sacrament, in the Eucharist. Jesus shows us that love is forgiving the ones we love. Jesus Christ in the sacrament of confession. Jesus shows us that love is saving the ones we love. Jesus Christ on the cross in his passion. Jesus shows us that love is remaining with the ones we love. Jesus Christ in his mystical body, the church. And Jesus shows us that love is willing that the ones we love would live forever. Jesus Christ in his resurrection. And so in Jesus, love is made visible, the origin and the end of our life is made visible, and we then have the path marked out before us of how we are called to imitate and live in this love in our own lives. Today's gospel also, in a sense, equates belief with salvation, when it says, whoever believes in Jesus Christ and the Son of God will be saved. It's important to note that the word for I believe, from where we get the word creed that we profess at Mass, the origin of it in Latin is the word credo, which is a compound word meaning do, which is I give, and heart, which is the word core. So really to believe, or to say I believe in Jesus Christ, is to say I give my heart to the Lord, which really highlights that our belief in the first place is a response to the immense gift of God's love in our life. And when we come to see it and appreciate it and relish in it, we ultimately say, what can be my response to this gift that he has given to me? And the only answer is, I have to give him my life. I have to give him my heart. And this is the meaning of saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God. I give my heart to him because I recognize his love is at the origin of my life. His love is at the end of my life. And therefore, I give myself to him completely. Suppose in a way we could look at our lives and say we start at a point which is God, we go out and we live our earthly pilgrimage of faith, and we're called constantly to keep in mind that we're trying to return back to this love of the Most Holy Trinity. And in a way, our journey of faith, our journey through this world, is really one whereby we are trying to manifest this love of God in our own lives, to make a proclamation, an announcement, to say, this is what I desire with all my heart, this is my hope, and this is what I want for my fulfillment for eternal life. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we were repeating today's responsorial psalm, all glory and praise to God who has revealed himself to us as being a God of perfect love, who has acted in our life with his saving love. And let us ask God for the grace that we would always live in his love, and that we would strive to conform our lives to the image of Jesus Christ, the truly, eternally begotten Son of God, who makes that love visible and shows us what our eternal destiny is heading.